What is truth? That's the question that Pilate asked after he and Jesus have a discussion during that trial, if you want to call it that. You remember Jesus has just, in that exchange, told him that he has come to bear witness of the truth. And so Pilate, I can almost see Pilate, and in my look at that passage, in essence what Pilate does is he just throws up his hands and says, what is truth? You see, he's been dealing with people who should know who Jesus is, who want him crucified. And Pilate understands, and looking at and questioning Jesus, there is nothing about him that is deserving of death. And so Pilate is confused. Pilate is thinking, what in the world is all this about? And so he just simply says, what is truth? We see in John chapter 18 something that our world today is still struggling with, right? It's not a new issue. It's not like it just showed up in the last few years. Mankind has always been dealing with this struggle of what is truth anyway? Really, what is truth? What does it define? How do we define it? What does it mean? It's not a new issue for us. But as we search for truth, and I really appreciate the elders here at Central and Tim and Steve, both Steves, all that they've done to put this program together. I appreciate that today that what we're going to talk about is finding out what truth is, the truth about the truth. And as we spend the next few minutes together, I want us to understand that really deep down, everybody knows that truth exists. They do. Whether they want to admit it or not, deep down, everybody really wants there to be a standard for truth. We just had the joke from Steve just a minute ago that everybody wants that. They want the truth when it concerns their bank account, right? They do. Deep down, everybody understands that we need truth. So why don't people seem to believe it? We live in a world today where we talk about alternative facts, where we talk about truthiness, right? Why don't people want to believe the truth anymore? So this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk about some things about truth that are easy, some things that are hard, and some things that are impossible. And then I want to leave you with three challenges that I hope will set us up for the day, that as men of faith, men of the church, men living in a society today that's struggling with truth, that we will be those who are truth bearers wherever we go, and that we will help to influence the world to understand truth as it ought to be understood. So the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that the truth is easy. The truth is easy to figure out. The truth is easy to discover. It really is. When you think about what truth is not majority rule. If 51% of people in making a decision about a situation decided one way, but it was not the right way, everybody would quickly understand that. And there are all kinds of case points, right? All kinds of case studies on this. One of which, all you have to do is go to Germany during the time of Nazi regime, right? There was a majority of people that said, hey, yeah, we want this regime, but everybody understood that what they were doing was wrong. They got that. It can't be majority rule. It can't be just whatever works. And it most certainly can't be whatever makes me feel good. You ask somebody, well, you know, what if I feel like murdering somebody? What if that's what makes me feel good? Well, you can't do that. We have all this stuff today. We're talking about bullying online. The truth really didn't exist, if things weren't really right or wrong, well, who's to say? If I bully somebody, it makes me feel good. Well, that's truth to me. We're going to look at some statistics in just a moment that's really part of the major definition today that people carry is regards the truth is. It's what truth is to me. Well, that can't possibly be right. But there are some things that we do know about truth. Truth can't be known. Even the world of science and math, right? In math, everybody agrees 2 + 2 = 4. All right, despite our world's best efforts to change that with some common core stuff, right? It's still 2 + 2 = 4. It really does. In the world of science, we depend on things like the laws of physics, the law of gravity, right? We know that can be known, and it's true. It always works that way. I have a 15-year-old daughter who just started driving. Right. Yeah, when she hits the brakes hard enough and applies enough friction, the car does stop, all right, when she does that. We also know the truth can be understood. If it can be known, it can be understood. We can explain it. We can come to know it. Most people understand the concept of truth, whether they're willing to admit it or not. Recently, Jesse Nelson put this out on the Lenora City Church of Christ Facebook page. He was talking about a conversation that he had seen online between two religious folks. And as they were talking, he was One person presented a passage, and the person said, well, yeah, but we don't know everything behind that passage. We can't ever really fully understand that passage. And they quoted Deuteronomy 29, 29. And you may have had this in a religious discussion with somebody. They said, well, the secret things belong to God, right? We can't possibly know everything. But the last half of that verse, they disregard. In Deuteronomy 29, 29, what is written there says, the secret things do belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. The truth can be known, it can be understood, and it can be shared. If we know something, we can share it, right? If we understand it. It doesn't make 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 doesn't make any sense if that's not the case, where Paul, in writing to Timothy, he says, look, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, I want you to do what? I want you to entrust it to faithful men so they can, what? Carry that on and do the same thing. We can share it. If we can know it, we can understand it, we can share it with people. We get this concept. Let's say that you went to your cardiologist, and your cardiologist said, you know, doc, I don't know, it's been a while, and I'm starting to lose a little bit, have some shortness of breath, and maybe we need to run some of those tests. And so they do. They run all those tests, and they even do the heart cath on you. Like, well, just to be safe, we'll do that. And at the end of that, you come back into the cardiologist's office, and he says, look, everything's great, it's wonderful, go on vacation, have a good time, don't worry about it. You're on vacation, you suffer a massive heart attack. Now you live, and because you live and you're in that hospital, the first call you're going to make is to who? The cardiologist. Hey man, you told me I was fine. What's going on? Well, you know, yeah, the test came back and you had pretty significant blockage. But I knew that if I told you that would disappoint you. I knew that if I told you that you wouldn't like that news. And so I decided not to tell you that. You're like, are you kidding me? Do you sometimes feel like that in the world we're living in today? You watch the news and you're like, are you kidding me? The truth is pretty plain most of the time. But then why is it hard to discuss? We think about some passages. I'm trying to get used to this thing right here. In passages like Psalm 119, verse 160, where as Christian men, where does our truth come from? It can't come from other people. It has to come from somewhere else. The psalmist reminds us, the sum of thy word is truth. Right? The sum of thy word is truth. John chapter 17, when Jesus is praying for those who will come, who will live after him, he says, I want you to sanctify them. I want you to make them special. Sanctify them in the truth. And he says, and here's where the truth is. Thy word is truth. Christian men, that's where our truth has to come from. If truth comes from mankind, we have done a poor job in our history of really showing what truth is. We mess it up. But if we rely on God and his word, we'll always get it right. But there are some things about the truth that are hard to discuss. And I want to share with you quickly some statistics. I love stats. I'm a numbers guy. But we're also going to talk about what's behind the numbers, I believe, at the end of looking at some of these stats. Barna, if you can go to barna.org, I love their research that they do. And back in July of 2015, they surveyed over 1,200 people. And in 2016, they released this study about what people think about the truth. And as we look at it, some of the stats that they, one of the first things that they talked about was the idea of, is moral truth absolute or relative? And the top part are generations. The last part are having to deal with people's faith. About one-third of each of those generations, except for the boomers, about one-third of them, only one-third of them said that truth was absolute. In other words, what they're saying is that truth being relative is situational. Depends on how you feel or what circumstance that you're in. About 59% of practicing Christians, and they just kind of lump everybody that believes in Jesus into that category. I hope we understand that. But only 59% of practicing Christians said they believed it to be absolute. That's a little scary to me. All right? And then we're going to see a disconnect here in just a moment. The next one was the question or the statement, and they said, do you agree with this or do you agree strongly with this? And the statement was, whatever is right for your life or works best for you is the only truth you can know. And this is a huge thing that people believe today. And almost 75% of the millennial generation said, yeah, that's what truth is. It's whatever it is to me. It's whatever works for me. That's what truth is. Around 67% of people who have no faith answered that way as well. And that makes sense, right? If you don't have faith, what are you going to hang your hat on? As we move on to the next one, they made this statement. Every culture determines what is acceptable morality for its people. Now, if you look at the practicing Christian section, 47%. All right, okay. But around 70% of millennials and then 67% of my generation, the Generation Xers, we said, yeah, a culture, a group of people. The United States of America can determine what's best. They can determine what's right and what's wrong, and they're pretty good at doing that. And again, we've seen time and time again, history does not bear that out to be true itself, because we're not very good at that. We're prejudiced, we're biased, we have opinions, and sometimes we just are blind to what is right in front of us. But then the last one I found very interesting. The last one was the statement, do you agree with this somewhat or do you agree with it strongly? The statement was, the Bible provides us with moral truths which are the same for all people in all situations without exception. 83% of practicing Christians said, yes, I believe that. Then why did only 59% of them say that truth is absolute? Gentlemen, do you see the disconnect? It's in our congregations as well. Our people, we have a disconnect. We do. Between understanding what absolute truth is and where it comes from and really understanding what it means for our lives. But here's a really interesting stat. 27% of people with no faith agreed with that statement. Now, I see some hope in that. And the reason I see some hope in that is these people are the ones that said long ago that, you know, well, in the first part of this, absolute, you can't find absolute truth. And yet, when the statement is made, can you find it somewhere? Would it perhaps be in the Bible? 27% of them are willing to say, yeah, I agree with that somewhat. That gives me hope. Now, what's behind some of these numbers? And here's honestly what I think. In the world today in which we live, the people that we should be trusting to tell us the truth are not the people that are telling us the truth. And people, especially younger generation, are sick and tired of it. And so what's happening, I really believe, is that people are trying to look behind the soundbite society that we've become, and they want things like fact-checking. Because they get a 30-second soundbite and they're like, that can't possibly be right. That can't possibly be the right statistic. And so they're willing to do the research and to dig. And that's the society, I think, that we're moving towards, is that people really do want to find the truth, and they know they got to be able to find it somewhere. And guess what? You've got the answer. Now, it is true that we probably feel like that Paul was writing to the 21st century crowd when he wrote this, right? There's coming a time when people are not going to endure sound teaching. We may feel that way. But do you remember that 27% that I just told you about? They're willing to listen. Are we willing to share it with them? The truth is easy to discover. It's hard to discuss, yes, but here's the other thing we have to remember. It is impossible to dismiss. And we need to help people around us figure that out. That the truth really is the truth. There is such a thing as absolute truth. And here's one of the things that we need to help people to understand. And even in the Lord's church, we need to help them to understand this, is God doesn't have to agree with you. He is God. He is above us. He is always right. Does that mean I will always understand? Not necessarily, but God does not have to agree with me. What I need to seek to do is to learn to live my life in agreement with what He's laid out for me in His Word. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And as men, we're supposed to be leading the way in that. God is not necessarily concerned about our happiness. I hear this over and over. God just wants me to be happy. God is way more concerned about holiness than He is about happiness. Now, it doesn't mean that we should be walking around with scowls on our face. No. We should be the most joyful people that live because we really do live according to the truth. We know that God keeps His promises, both the positive ones, which are awesome, but also the negative ones, that God is the keeper of His promises. We can hang our hat on that. But we need to be those who are willing to share that with people in a loving way. In a loving way. Remember, Jesus tells us that we're going to know the truth and that it's the truth that will set us free. We can't allow people to continue living lies. We have to help them to truly find what is the truth. We may feel like we're living more in a Romans 1:25 society, right? Where people are just doing whatever. They're serving the creature rather than the Creator. But there is hope. There are people who are searching. So what are we supposed to do about it? And in the last few seconds that we have together here, here's our call. I have a verse on the screen. I love this passage. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, there's a list of David's mighty men. I love this list of people. But you need to know the background on this list of guys. During the times of Saul's death and the transition to David being king, some things happened. We often just say, well, David became the next king. But for 2 years, there's a period of turmoil there. There are some followers of Saul who seek to elevate a person named Ishbosheth up to become king as well. And for 2 years, there's some strife with that. And so the children of Israel have to figure out what they're going to do. And so with each of those tribes, they got to figure out who they're going to follow. Are we going to follow Ishbosheth or are we going to follow David? Because they have to make a choice. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, what you find is a list of people called David's mighty men who are those who know that David is king, and they know that that's who they need to follow, and they know that that's going to cause friction. But you know what they do? They follow God. They follow the true king. And 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, there are these men from the tribe of Issachar. They're called the sons of Issachar. And it says that these guys in 12:32 were men who understood the times and what Israel ought to do. Gentlemen, we are men who understand the times in which we live, aren't we? We know that people are struggling with figuring out with what truth is. We know what we ought to do about that too. We ought to be those who answer the call of those who are title holders of the truth, who know what the truth is, that we need to be those who are willing to be truth seekers ourselves. The answer to the questions that young people will answer you are important. And the answer, we've always done it that way, never has been, never will be, and never should be an answer that you give. It's not a good answer. They're really looking, they're really searching. Remember that 27% that I told you about? Who said, yeah, the Bible might have that absolute truth. It might be there. And it might really, if it is from God, and he really does exist, it really could apply to everybody in all circumstances. And that would make sense. When they're searching, you need to help them find the truth. But secondly, we can't teach something but live a different way. You see, that's where a lot of people have had that disconnect with religion, quite honestly. They've just said, you know what? You guys are a bunch of fakers, a bunch of hypocrites. We have to be truth bearers. If we say we believe something, we need to live according to it. And then we do those first two things, it's going to lead us to be the truth sharers. When Paul writes to those in Ephesus, he tells them, he says, hey, look, guys, you need to share the truth, but you need to do that in love. Speak the truth in love. And he's talking really about relationships within the church. But I bet you got some people at work that you're thinking of that you need to speak the truth to in love, in a loving way. You need to find some way to reach them to have that conversation. Well, let's do that. Let's be those truth sharers. Because it's Jesus who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, the truth is easy to discover, but it is hard to discuss. But we got to have those hard conversations with people because it's impossible to dismiss. And we answer our call as title holders of truth. We're going to be those who are truth seekers ourselves first, truth bearers, and we're going to be truth sharers because we need to be leading people to the truth. We need to be leading people to Jesus. Amen.